Josh Schwartz of Smarter Than You is brought to you by GameTime, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know NFL ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? Going to catch the 49ers at Baltimore this weekend, the biggest game of the season so far. Go to the GameTime app to get your tickets at the last minute. GameTime tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals. With prices up to 60% off, only takes two taps to get your tickets right to your phone. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the Game Time app and discovered the fastest, easiest way to get into the game. So head to the App Store or Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last-minute tickets.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Welcome to Jeff Schwartz's Smarter Than You special Thanksgiving edition. Thank you guys for tuning in today as you're driving around going to your Thanksgiving celebrations. I am Jeff Schwartz alongside, as usual, Gabe Goodwin. We have a special show for you today. We are going to talk about the tens. Are we calling this the tens, the teens? What are we calling this era, Gabe, this decade?
I think it's the, I don't know, the tens feels
the
right
tens?
To me. This decade is
this
what
decade, the 2010.
I wanted to laugh at the teens, but I think that's actually more accurate.
I think it's the teens, right? The 2010 to 2019 all-decade team. We're going to go over the best players at each position. We're going to put together a team. We're going to have some fun with this. Gabe was going to argue with me throughout the way.
You don't know that. Except, I might just think you're dead on. You don't know.
Except offensive line, where you have nothing to
say. I
won't
say a word.
It's
going
to be
that.
My position to argue about, even though there are actually one position on the offensive line is worth debating a lot. So we'll have fun with that. How you doing, Gabe?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited for Thanksgiving. I'm glad that subscribers of The Athletic have stuck with us and learned a few things with this show. Hopefully they've enjoyed the format. This is a little different for us, but I think you'll get smart about looking at the last 10 years of football. So this is a fun one while you're killing some time around the holiday.
It was fun for me to go back and think about this team. And look, there's some very easy suggestions, but there's also guys that will pop up as we go through this. You're like, wow, that player did this and that player did that. And how much do we count Super Bowls or regular season wins and what teams have done? And also looking back and just seeing there's some players I didn't realize were still playing in the beginning of this decade. There were two players, especially on the defense in the secondary, which we'll get to, where guys were still playing like in 2013 and 2014. Pretty fun to do this. Do you want to start with the quarterback who I know, Gabe, you're going to hate this selection, but it has to be done. The quarterback of all-decade team.
Well, go ahead. Tell us who you think it is. I could tell you some other names.
It is Tom Brady, and there's no question about it. When you win as many Super Bowls as he has, they've now been to eight AFC Championship games in a row. They've won eight straight AFC titles. He's won three Super Bowls in the last four seasons. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. He is the greatest quarterback of this decade.
Okay. He's obviously in the conversation for greatest quarterback of all time. Even someone like me who cannot stand the Patriots has to admit that. I'd say he is the greatest quarterback of all time. But that's based on a body of work that spans two decades. Two decades in which I would say he's probably not been the best quarterback in either. So, you know, he's obviously very good. He's top two or three for 20 years now. And probably he'll be in the conversation next damn decade, the way it's looking. But I don't
he's
know if I'm ready to give him
Super
this
Bowls
decade.
This decade.
Jeff.
And it's AFC Championship game, I think, every single season this decade.
I mean, when you put it that way, it's hard to debate. But don't you want to even, for 1 second, just consider a few names?
I would consider Drew Brees. And
okay, there you go.
Manning. I mean, Drew Brees, his completion percentage, almost 70% in his career. Absolutely wild. 45,000 yards. He's led the NFL in passing the beginning of the decade and completion percentage back in the decade. Very efficient quarterback. If he had the Patriots defense and Bill Belichick, and that's not to say Sean Payton is a bad coach, you know, maybe he is, you know, winning more Super Bowls than he has.
That's an important point you just made, though. Remember, again, Brady in this current decade, it's his second full decade with the coach and system that he's been playing in. Naturally, he's playing at a very, very high level. I think there's something to be said for Breeze, Aaron Rodgers, who statistically has been better. He doesn't have as many rings, but he's got one. He's got one of the best quarterback seasons of all time. Your guy, Russell Wilson, deserves consideration. I mean, you can choose Brady, but it's not a no-brainer.
It's not a no-brainer if you just it depends on stats. Like, I mean, Matt Stafford has put up a ton of stats in this decade. I mean, are we going with stats? Or are we doing with, like, I mean, I feel like the Super Bowls and everything else, it seems very clear this is Tom Brady. But I know you hate Tom. It's okay.
I don't hate Tom necessarily.
Agree that he is number one in this.
Okay. All right. Let's give you Tom. Running back's harder. Where are you going with running back?
So I don't think it is. To me, the number one is Adrian Peterson. All right. I was with the Vikings when he had 2,000 yards. He had just missed setting the all-time rushing record that season by, I believe, about 7 or 9 yards. It was actually really interesting. The last game of the year, we had to win the game. We're playing the Packers week 17. We need to win the game to then play the Packers again in the wild card round on Saturday. And so we had to make sure that we won the game, but also try to get him the rushing record as well. In this decade, 112 games, 9,300 rushing yards, 4.6 per attempt. Now, the receiving is not really there. That's not really what he does. He's not a dual-purpose guy. But he was the best running back for years at that position. And some of these other guys have yards, but were never the best at the position for as many years as he was.
Okay, so there's really no point in trying to argue that Adrian Peterson wasn't great or that 2012, the year you're talking about, wasn't unbelievable. But for a body of work, this decade has been mostly a disappointment. Remember, this is seasons missed to injury, seasons missed to suspensions, new teams bouncing around. Like, yes, his best in this decade is the best of anyone's, but there hasn't been much good actually in the last several years. The Adrian Peterson most people think about is just a few years ahead of that.
Correct. But I will say he made an all-pro team in 2010, 2012, 2013, and 2015. Obviously in 2012, he was the MVP. I mean, that I think in this decade team, you can have, you know, you can be so good at certain points. And we're going to get to some players later on that have been so good the last half of the decade that they're on this list. I think that what he did in the first half of the decade is so incredible. He should be on here as number one running back. But I will say, looking through this one guy, LeSean McCoy, by the way, his numbers he's put up. Have you realized this, Gabe? He's had 10,000 rushing yards in this decade. He's had 3,400 receiving yards. He's my surprise, like, second best running back in this decade, in my opinion.
So he's the guy I would have argued is number one. And it surprised me until I looked into it also. His best years are all within the decade, and we're right now starting to see him fade a little bit. But the reason I think I would choose him just barely over AP or even Marshawn Lynch would be, I think he's doing now what running backs will do for the next decade, right? So I think that a Christian McCaffrey type is more modeled after a guy like LeSean McCoy than Adrian Peterson. I think the era of Adrian Peterson guys is ending, as we're seeing, you know, this week with Todd Gurley is sort of the next coming of Adrian Peterson. It doesn't really work anymore. I feel like now you got to be able to catch the ball. You got to be able to run in different types of schemes. And LeSean McCoy was a little ahead of the curve on that.
He was ahead of the curve on that. And that obviously puts him kind of ahead of Adrian Peterson, because he was a dual threat guy. Adrian Peterson has never been that guy, right? And I think if LeSean McCoy had maybe started his career 5 years ago, he'd be in a different stratosphere. Like, we'd think of him much differently than we do now. And I think that the ability to do multiple things out of the backfield is now appreciated, where it was not appreciated when Adrian Peterson came in the NFL. Even the start of the decade, it was not appreciated. One guy that I just want to throw out there, he's not going to get this, but Jamaal Charles in his career is number one all time in yards per attempt from a running back.
Yeah, it's
5.4 an attempt. He got hurt a bunch, but he is fabulous as a running back, and he should be mentioned here. And he's not going to win this award or put him on the decade team, but just throw that mention out for him.
I think he's worthy of mention, and I would only say this, and it's not necessarily fair to him, but it seems to me that almost everyone who's run behind that Chiefs offensive line for the last 10 or 15 years, really going back to Priest Holmes, almost everyone who's run behind that line has looked pretty damn good. And anytime you have two or three running backs who weren't who weren't expected to be great run for 1,000 yards a year every year, I wonder if maybe they're a little bit more replaceable, which is sort of the kind of thing you often say.
But that was they were different offensive lines.
Okay, well, teach us a little bit about that then. Because, I mean, we don't need to get hung up on Jamal Charles. He's a nice player.
They're just different offensive lines.
Different different players, obviously.
Different players, yeah. Different coaches, different schemes. I agree with you there. I mean, for example, you put Tony Pollard right now as the backup running back for the Cowboys behind this offensive line. He's going to rush for 1,000 yards, right? I didn't understand that. So, to your point, that makes sense. All right, let's go to the tight ends. Keep this moving along. This is interesting. I think the easy answer is Gronk, right? I think we can see this year with him not in the lineup what it's done to the Patriots. They have no middle of the field threat. They have no security blanket for Tom Brady. 115 games, 521 receptions, 79 touchdowns, 15 yards a reception. In 2011, or early in the decade, 90 receptions, 1,300 yards, 18 touchdowns. Now, he had injuries, which is one thing we use with Adrian Peterson. But, I mean, number one, it's got to be Gronk.
Yeah, I don't want to argue against Gronk. It also helps him, unlike some of the guys we're going to talk about, you know, his career lines up perfectly with the decade. He comes into the league in 2010. Yeah. He's immediately impactful. He has his best years in the middle of the decade. He wins rings. He changes the position. There's really no point in arguing against him. The previous decade would be more interesting, right? There you have Gonzalez and Gates, guys who kind of established the need for a tight end in the league. Why do you think it is that the tight end position has sort of become way more of a pass-catching position in this decade?
Well, if you look at Jimmy Graham right now, I mean, Jimmy Graham's a great example, right? 638 receptions in this time period. You know, Jason Witten obviously has 670. He's the all-time leader in receptions for tight end. But, you know, Graham, you're getting – so we're seeing a transition in the NFL. And it makes the Ravens, as they won on Monday night, and we watched them kind of run over the Rams, you know, they've kind of gone the opposite direction, right? Like they've gone all in on rushing the ball. And where the NFL has gone kind of all in on passing the ball and all in on smaller players, because they're getting those players from college, right? They're getting better passers from college now. They're getting smaller linebackers. They're getting smaller tight ends as these offenses now throw the ball so much. So a tight end now is now a wide receiver weapon because you put him against a safety or a linebacker and no one can cover these guys, right? You know, currently, Travis Kelce is big and can move where no one can guard him, right? Tony Gonzalez would have been amazing now. I mean, all these guys would have been even better as a pass catcher because no one can guard Tony Gonzalez. We saw part of this decade, obviously. No one can guard Antonio Gates. It's a mismatch with the guys you're getting from college that are smaller defenders against these tight ends. That's why.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think this one's one to pick up time on. Gronk's the winner.
Yeah.
There's another few guys that are worth mentioning, but I think you hit on Graham. I mean, Kelsey's interesting. It comes along a little too late. The guy who's going to be a fun conversation for next decade, and we'll definitely be talking about throughout the rest of the season on our normal Tuesday and Thursday shows, will be Kittle up in San Francisco.
Yes.
He's a fun one to talk about, but he hasn't done enough yet. So
no, he might be for the next decade. Yeah. We're still doing this podcast, and we have millions of listeners per episode.
I think okay. That's right. So let's talk wide receiver.
Wide receiver. So we'll pick two. And the two that stood out to me were Larry Fitzgerald, the ageless wonder who, no matter what offense he's in, no matter what quarterback he plays with, all he does is put up numbers. The best route runner, just so smooth, great hands, consummate pro. To me, no-brainer number one. And now, number two on this list is very interesting. I would say it's Julio Jones, but I think you can make a case for Calvin Johnson, for Demaryius Thomas, for Antonio Brown. I think number two to me feels like dealer's choice.
Yeah, well, hold on. So I want to just point out that Larry Fitzgerald, who has played every year, you know, for this whole decade and been one of the better receivers out there, has definitely not ever been the best receiver in the league at any point in the last decade. He could have had that claim for a bunch of seasons in the previous decade. He's just been a pretty good receiver for the last bunch of years. So you're giving him consistency, which means like Frank Gore or somebody should have been in the conversation and running back.
Sure, but do we take into account that he didn't have Matt Ryan, or he didn't have Peyton Manning, or he didn't have Big Ben? I mean, he had a bunch of schmoes playing quarterback for a lot of this decade.
I guess I can't argue with that. He mostly had schmoes.
A couple years of Carson Palmer, right? A couple years of Warner, yeah, was, I guess, the previous decade.
A little bit of Warner, a little bit of Palmer, and then Schmotown ever since. So all right, so we're going to award him some extra points. You mentioned Calvin Johnson. Now, he had a great, great, great bunch of years. I guess if you go with Adrian Peterson, you can go with Calvin Johnson. I mean, why not?
Except I think there's more guys deserving of being maybe second in this than there were for the running backs. By the way, Calvin Johnson accounted for 31% of Matt Stafford's career passing yards.
I would have guessed it was like 71%.
Thank you, Zuri, producer extraordinaire, for giving some of these stats. And this is incredible. Some of this. I do think this is a fun conversation to have. Like, Julio Jones has been fabulous, but you look at Antonio Brown in this time, 131 games, 1,100 yards. In playoff games, he's been great. 51 receptions, 537 yards. He led the NFL in receptions in 14 and 15, receiving yards in 14 and 17, and touchdowns last year. Seven-time Pro Bowler. Now, the problem is he's crazy right now. So how much do you count that into the situation, unlike Julio Jones, who's just stable as they come?
Yeah, I mean, Brown made it all the way to the end of the decade before he let the wheels come off. So, I think he's got to be in there. I would say there's this whole middle pack of guys, right, that are like that great group of players to take in a PPR league in fantasy, and you mentioned a couple. Demaryius Thomas, Andre Johnson had a bunch of good years this decade, and now we're seeing Hopkins in Texas, in Houston rather, doing the same. I mean, yeah, it's a tough call. I guess physically speaking, forget the numbers for a minute. When you just look at like guard ability, who's harder to cover, Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson? Because the answer to that is who I think
Calvin.
You put in. It's Calvin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He had fewer productive years, and, he left the league kind of in his prime. But it seemed like no one knew how to cover him. And Julio Jones has had great years every year, but, like, he's semi-stoppable. I'd go Calvin. And if you insist on keeping Larry in, then Antonio's out.
I'm okay with Kevin Calvin here. I think to your point, when we go through this list, is who was the best at the position? Calvin Johnson was the best at the position for many years.
For many years. If Adrian's in, Calvin's in. I think that's our standard.
I think that's fair. Adrian, Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
I'll go with that. Okay. Offensive line. Here we go.
So all right. I'm going to go get a snack. Have fun.
We'll go with tackles first. This is very easy. It's Tyron Smith, the Cowboys, and Joe Thomas of the Browns. Tyron Smith is, I tweeted this out this weekend at Jeff Schwartz from the game with the Patriots and the Cowboys on Sunday. I mean, Tyron Smith looks like you make him in a factory. His hands go down, his arms go down to his like mid thigh, maybe his knees almost. He's got long hands, huge arms. He wears that Don Joy knee brace on his arm. That's how big his arms are. He's amazing. His problem has been injuries. I mean, that's been a problem of his, and he's been mostly healthy for a while now. He's made 4 All Pro teams, 6-time Pro Bowler. He's incredible. He's incredible. He's up there. Obviously, Joe Thomas. We know Joe. 10 seasons in the NFL. He'll walk right into the Hall of Fame. First ballot Hall of Famer is my assumption. He made 9 All Pro teams, 10 Pro Bowls. And look, some of those obviously were years before the decade started. But nonetheless, Joe is up there. Do you have any objections to those two?
No. I mean, those are the two that even the layperson like me would be able to come up with.
Yeah.
I'm more curious about kind of some of these next
things
you're going
to And I will out. Say, I want to throw like Jason Peters, for example, just kind of played in the wrong era. Like, he is a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, the Eagles left tackle. He just kind of played in this era where, by the way, the NFC East has had like the 3 best left tackles for like a long period of time now, right? Tyron Smith, outside Joe Thomas, I would say Tyron Smith, Trent Williams, and Jason Peters. My second team tackles would have been Peters, and I would have gone with Joe Staley, I believe. All right, so guard to me, again, not very hard. Zach Martin and Marshall Yanda. Marshall Yanda, the other night, he's the Ravens right guard. He gets no respect, by the way. I mean, offensive linemen know. During the game against the Rams, I had a bunch of offensive linemen text me and be like, dude, Yanda is locking up Aaron Donald. Yanda is so good, folks. He can play right guard, right tackle. He go to left guard. I think 2 years ago went to left guard, played left guard all season. He is a monster from Iowa. He just flies off the ball. Great technique, wide base, just mean as can be. No technology, right? No Twitter, no Instagram, nothing. Just old school lineman. Zach Martin for the Cowboys. The second he came in the NFL, he's been one of the best linemen in the NFL. And so those are my two guards.
Okay, I like those picks. I like that you came up with a guy who I barely know anything about in Yanda. I thought he was like a backup guitar player or something.
Yeah, dude, Yanda's a monster, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, anyone playing on that line for the Ravens right now is making a case that they're doing something right. Let me ask you this before you give us a center. There I will have an opinion. We always sort of say, and I just said it earlier about Jamaal Charles, and we've certainly talked about quarterbacks in this way. Yeah, you know, but any quarterback, any runner behind that line would look great. And I think in general football wisdom, people allow you to say that. That's sort of common sense. Is it possible it's the other way around as well? Like, are there linemen who end up looking great because of something the quarterback is doing? Like, I would suspect that Peyton Manning is so aware of where he is on the field, he can kind of cover his own blind spots, no?
So a great answer to this would be Nate Solder, who went from New England to the Giants. So New England, he basically knew Tom Brady would stand about 7 yards in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And in the Giants, he goes, Eli's at 9.5 yards. Well, it's a big difference. That 2 yards will get you sacked. Here in Tom Brady, you're not getting sacked there. Now, this is one example. It's not always true. Right? Trent Brown was in New England last year. He's playing great in Oakland now. I mean, that's just an example. Yes, they can make you look better because they don't drop as deep. And it makes it to where you don't have to pass block. It's not as difficult.
So who would be the quarterback? And if your answer is Brady, help me not, you know, jump off something. But who is the quarterback who makes linemen look the best?
Phillip Rivers.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I would say, crap?
I would say like old Phillip Rivers, like not like the last year or two.
Yeah, okay.
But he sits in the pocket like none other quarterback I have ever seen.
Huh. That, you know what? You don't always surprise me. That's a really surprising one. So the guys who've blocked for Phillip Rivers, some of them were probably great, but a few of them are maybe average and end up looking good because he knows what he's doing in there. That's cool. All right. Who's your center?
So this one's interesting. I tend to look at Alex Mack here,
okay.
Who's played obviously the entire time of this decade. He's been really, really good. But then I kind of started doing some more digging. And I think Marquise Pouncey might be the guy to put in here. He's made 5 all-pro teams, 7-time Pro Bowler. He's been really good. And he might be just a tad better than Alex Mack. This is the one position in the offensive line where I think there's a couple guys that could have been really considered for this. I would still lean a little bit Alex Mack. I think Pouncey is right there. I think Ryan Khalil is right there as well. And then, you know, there's Kelsey and Travis Frederick. I mean, there's a lot of good centers. This position was much tougher to do than the other ones.
Okay, well, Pouncey, I like that choice because he's been consistently good throughout the whole decade, which is our standard here. That this is his prime is this decade. And he's been the center of a line that has been very, very good at run blocking and pass blocking. Like, they've been a consistently great offense in both ways the whole decade, from what I can tell. So he makes sense. I the previous decade, I think I would have made a big argument for Kevin Mawai. Thoughts on Kevin Mawai?
Fantastic. You know, he played like 180 games in a row without missing at a start.
Yeah. A lot of them were for the Jets.
Yeah. Kevin Mawai is fantastic. But he just made the Hall of Fame, you know, because he was great the last 2 decades, not this one.
That's right.
No, Kevin Mawai is fantastic. All right. So let's get to defensive line. So this is what I did with this position. I think we have this. The way we play kind of hybrid defense now, so like Von Miller, for example, because you're outside linebacker, we're not playing that game here, all right? What we're doing is we're choosing – I'm going to put 3 defensive tackles in this and then two outside – two pass rushers. Now, we can make it to where we do like 4 defensive tackles and 4 pass rushers. So that includes outside linebackers and defensive ends. So, Gabe, which one do you think is better? 4 defensive tackles or 3? And like 4 pass rushers? Because I think there's 4 that stand out to me as far as pass rushers we could include on this.
Well, okay, so listen. Dopes like me know all the defensive ends and are going to be able to name them. But this show is about making people a little smarter. So why don't you, you know, geek out a little bit.
Okay, so
tell
let's
us
do,
about the big boys in the
so
middle.
Let's do. These are 3 guys who roasted out to me like right away as far as being the best interior defensive lineman.
Okay.
J.J. Watt. Okay.
You're putting him on the inside.
Yeah, because he... It's one of those things where he plays D-tackle and defensive end. I'll just put him as like all-purpose defensive lineman, J.J. Right. Watt.
You can
is that better?
Save time here, sure. J.J. Watt, yes.
All-purpose defensive line, J.J. Watt.
Fine.
I think most of us view him as like an interior offensive lineman. I think he was good enough to win the MVP. I believe that was in 15 or 14. He's had 92 sacks, 154 tackles for a loss, and 244 quarterback hits in 104 games this decade. He's been pretty hurt in this decade, especially the back end of this. So what's really interesting, too, is I'll say what makes him great is 2 things, all right? One is his ability to burst at the end of his rush. So a lot of guys get close to the pass rusher and just can't, like, finish the last part of it, all right? But his ability to go from like, I beat the tackle to I am now making the play is what sets him apart from other defensive linemen, in my opinion. And then secondly is he didn't always do what was actually called on the play. So as offensive linemen, we look at the defense, right? We look at the linebackers, the safeties, and we can see where guys are coming from, right? And it helps us. So if a safety is down to, let's say, J.J. Watt's side, and they're pressuring, and J.J. Watt's playing over the guard, is over the outside shoulder of the right guard, and the right guard goes, oh, okay, here comes a pressure. J.J. Watt's going to cross my face, try to go into the A-gap, from the B-gap to the A-gap. That's what he's supposed to be. And that's what 99% of defenders would do in the NFL, not Watt. Watt would go behind your back, and because he was so quick, remember, I told you about finishing the play, right? He was able to get back in his gap before the running back got there, or the quarterback, or someone else got there. And he was able to like not follow the rules of the defense because he was that good of a player.
Okay, that's it. I mean,
it's hard to like explain it without film on the podcast.
No, I get it. I do get it. You've sort of helped us understand that in the past.
So, okay, so he's 1. 2 is Aaron Donald. I know it's back half of this decade, but dude, he's amazing. Like, there's this no... Yeah. We've watched him play now for 5 years. Like, he's made the Pro Bowl since he was a rookie in 2014. He's been all four straight all-pro teams and counting. 20 and a half sacks last year. He's amazing. I don't know what more to say it is about Aaron Donald. It's incredible.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that'd be easier to agree with just blanketly, since everyone agrees he's one of the best players really ever at that position. It's just that right now the Rams D doesn't look so good. And he's the biggest, you know, part of the D. So, but yeah, fine. Aaron Donald seems like a good choice for the interior. I think we can go with that.
All right. The next one, for me, this is going to be off the beaten path, I think, a little bit, for defensive tackle is Haloti Ngata. Haloti is, I don't know if he's going to get a lot of Hall of Fame votes, but he probably should. He was, you know, the kind of unspoken anchor of that defense with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. And Ray has said many times he would not be able to do his job without Haloti. I played Haloti in college. I've seen him physically do some things that I didn't think were possible of a man of his size, running backs from behind. I mean, he almost broke RG3 in half in that game where he got hurt. I think he's so underrated. I think people in the NFL will tell you that he is deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. He probably won't because he's not a flashy guy, right? He's not a sack guy, doing 26 sacks in this decade. But, dude, he is a monster, and I just want his name to be recognized here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he had a few good years before this decade began.
Yes.
And as you said, he sort of wound it down just within the last couple of years. So, but this is your show, and you just mentioned him, and he certainly has been. When those teams were great, he would get the love. Okay. So you put some shine on Haloti. That's good. Are we missing anyone on the defensive line, or are we moving to linebackers?
I think we're moving to outside linebackers slash defensive ends.
Yeah, this is where the game has changed. So now there's a bunch of guys who run around and attack quarterbacks.
So we'll start with a pure defensive end, and that's Julius Peppers.
Whoa, okay. In this decade?
He had 78 sacks this decade.
Okay.
7.5 sacks.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah. This is one of the most surprising. He's fourth all-time in sacks. Do you realize that?
I knew that he had to be up in the top 10. I didn't realize fourth all time.
Yeah, 78.5 sacks in a decade. Where we're putting in, like, I mean, pull up the stats here. I mean, we got JJ Watt had 92 sacks, and he's considered the best player of the time. I mean, Pep had 80, and that includes years where he probably wasn't that good. but dude, he was like 40 last year and still sacking the quarterback.
I mean, I support this pick. He played about 8 years in the previous decade.
He did.
Even better then.
He's it's incredible. I think maybe in bias, I played against him a bunch in practice, but I think he's that good, dude. He's that good.
So give us like an anecdote or a story. What was it like going up against him?
Well, the thing about him is he could do whatever he wanted. Like, he could beat you inside, outside. He could hump move you. The Reggie White, like, one-arm hump move.
Pardon me?
He could what?
He could what?
Hump move. It's called a hump move. It's what Reggie White did. So Reggie White would, like, come up to you, and then he'd take his inside arm, like, as he goes to bull rush you, and then just, like, take his arm and hump, like, club you with it almost, but not a club. He'd, like, hump you. Like, he'd, like, throw you by. And when you can do all those things, it's amazing. But I'll tell you my favorite Pep story. And this is in 2010, so part of the decade. We were playing. He went to the Bears after being the Panthers for the first 2 years I was in the NFL. And there was a play where I had to cut him. So you had to cut block him, right? Take his legs out. And it was a screen pass. And our coach told us, hey, we're not going to run this play to Julius Peppers' side. And he would move sides, but mostly on my side. At right tackle, because he's just too athletic. He's going to make us look stupid. So we call the play anyways, right? And he played off my cut block, tipped the ball to himself, and intercepted it. Well, I laid on the ground.
At least he didn't hump you.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I remember my only Julius Peppers sort of memories are him doing something crazy, like jumping in the air, tipping a pass to himself, and very clearly doing it on purpose, coming down with it, and then turning into a running back. And I feel like that happened a bunch of times in his career. So, all right, Julius is in. Give us some other linebacker slash pass rushers.
So Von Miller is, I mean.
Sure.
It's
And the decade was for him. I mean, yeah, it was perfectly timed.
Exactly in here. I think that the considerable here, I need to pull his stats for this decade alone. But Terrell Suggs is definitely up there. I don't know quite. I'm gonna pull his stats to make sure that a lot of them are during this decade.
Yeah.
But he's been unbelievable. But again, I want to make sure that a lot of this is in this decade because obviously this is important to do. Yeah. I mean, he had 14 sacks, 10 sacks, 12 sacks. He's been injured a bunch of years too.
I don't know if you should include him in this decade. I think he was obviously a huge part of those unbelievable Ravens defenses and then became kind of the Ray Lewis of the defense as Ray moved along. But
so,
yeah, I don't know.
Can I give you an outside-the-box defensive end?
Please.
How about Chandler Jones?
Okay.
89.5 sacks during this time. And that includes, by the way, his first year we had six. And remember, he was drafted in 2012. So he missed 10 and 11.
Yeah.
So he has 89.5 sacks at defensive end outside linebacker. I think I would rather have him in over Cameron Wake or Suggs. I would go with Peppers, Miller, and Chandler Jones.
Did we, perhaps I missed it or we've not categorized this correctly. Did we miss Khalil Mack? Are we not putting him in?
I think Von Miller is better than him.
Okay. Vaughn is. And Chandler too? Or are you just saying that Chandler has more good years within this decade?
I think he has more good years within this decade.
Okay. I like that squad.
I mean, Khalil Mack only has 53 sacks this decade.
Yeah. No, he's one of the – I mean, this keeps coming up. But it's like his prime is going to be right at the end of this decade and into the beginning of the next. So he doesn't really fit into an all-decade team, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. All right, let's move along. So give me some cornerbacks.
All right, so this is not, I will be honest, this is like not my forte. Like I don't really do many secondary players, but I think for defensive backs, Richard Sherman is definitely up there during his time period. And then this is now a question of about kind of like how we view the back half of this time, you know, the early part of this decade or the back half, like what matters more. Darrelle Revis was really, really good, the best cornerback for a couple years at the beginning of the decade. Obviously did not make it the entire decade. Or do you go with Pat Peterson, who's basically played the entire decade at such a high level? Those to me are the three choices.
Yeah, Peterson, I mean, I'm obviously a Revis guy, but I think he's one of those guys that gets hurt by being really great a few years before this started and not a factor the last several years. Peterson, it feels like, has been... Not many guys have been a lockdown cover corner for year after year after year, and I feel like I always hear his name. And if memory serves, like, he was doing a lot of punt returning back in the day, like scored a lot of touchdowns on defense. I like his choice, but I don't remember him ever being on a team that mattered, so it's harder to go with that. But what about, you know, guys right now who are starting to turn into something? What's the Trey White in Buffalo? We got Jalen Ramsey in LA.
Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore, of course, sure. A few guys who've come on later in the decade. Any of them worth consideration for this sort of make-believe award we're giving out?
Well, Stephon Gilmore, I think, is definitely up in that conversation. You know, young corners, kind of who else?
Well, let me ask you this while you think, because we talked about how, you know, a quarterback can make a lineman look good. We know that the defensive front can make a lot of cornerbacks look good. So who are some guys who maybe, not that, you know, you don't think they're great or whatever, but guys who get a lot of reputation but are actually benefiting from killer, you know, defensive line play and linebacker play?
And
Revis was not one of those guys necessarily. Like, Revis had a great defense around him, but he just played guys one-on-one and kept that side of the field quiet.
Yeah, that's not really... That's not really like, I don't have a great answer for that.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you're ducking me, but that's fine.
This position, man, I don't have a great answer.
By the time it's up to the cornerbacks, you've already done your job. you're ready to catch your breath.
Like, I'm just like, I mean, look, we still have the linebackers yet, by the way. I think there's three middle linebackers I want to get to.
Oh, I thought you were kind of like, you're going into the Kuechly territory now. Guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so safety, Earl Thomas to me is up there. And then probably for this decade, Eric Weddle, like for the entire time he's been in the NFL, like in this decade, where like Ed Reed and Polamalu were more previous decade.
Yep, that's right.
So all right, linebackers, I just want to give a shout because I think Luke Kuechly is incredible. And I don't think people really know how good he is, the Carolina middle linebacker. And he, whatever iteration of this team you want to have as far as how you list these players, he needs to be on there, a middle linebacker.
I don't think there's much debate there. It feels Bobby like Wagner he has 14 well. Tackles a game. So
Bobby Wagner does as well.
Okay.
And I wish Patrick Willis would have stayed healthy because I think he deserves to be on this as well. But he just wasn't very healthy.
I loved him in his prime.
Yeah.
He came to ESPN once and threw a water balloon in the face of my colleagues, and I loved him even more for it. So that's bonus points for him.
And then kickers, who cares?
No, don't talk about that.
Yeah, and the head coach, we know who the head coach is. So,
hold on. Who's the head coach?
Oh, it's Bill Belichick.
Okay. Do you want to get creative here? Just like Brady is an easy choice, but he's been doing it forever.
Yeah, let's get creative. Who are we going with?
Well, I don't know. Sean Payton?
Yeah, but I mean, he went 7-9 3 years in a row.
Okay.
I mean, the creative guy is Andy Reid, who won in Philly, won in Kansas City with Alex Smith, has now won in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, but he hasn't won that big game.
I know, and Belichick wins all the damn big games. All right, look ahead to the next decade. Which coach, right now, you have to bet on one coach, and don't say friggin' Belichick. One coach to be the all-decade coach next decade.
Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. He's getting there.
He's getting there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff, I think we covered it.
I think we did,
we didn't even fight too much. I mean, you know.
No.
It's non-controversial. I wish that Brady wasn't the guy, but, you know, I get it.
you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know I enjoyed my fried turkey as usual. all the fixins. Oh, I love this. Love living in the South Gibbs. It's fantastic.
it is nice because no one's got creative with it where I live.
No, I'm sorry about that. All right, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. Enjoy the holiday weekend, a weekend full of football. We'll get back to you on Tuesday. Have a great one.